Thank you. Good afternoon or good morning to those of you in the West. Welcome to the Talking Freight Seminar Series. My name is Laura Feast and I will moderate today's seminar. Today's topic is the National Freight Performance Measurement Data Dissemination Tool. Please be advised that today's seminar is being recorded. Today we'll have two presentations, the first given by Crystal Jones of the Federal Highway Administration's Office of Freight Management and Operations and Jeffrey Short of the American Transportation Research Institute. And the final presentation will be given by Kathleen, or Kitty, Hancock of Virginia Tech. Crystal Jones joined FHWA's Office of Freight Management and Operations in October of 2003. Prior to joining FHWA, Crystal worked for the Department of the Army for 11 years, where she held several positions in transportation and logistics, including an assignment with the Office of the Deputy Chief of Staff for Logistics at the Pentagon. Crystal's primary area of expertise is with freight technology and operations. Crystal has extensive experience in the areas of programming and budgeting and strategic and performance planning. Crystal holds a bachelor's degree in industrial technology with a concentration in computer science from Elizabeth City State University and a master's of science in administration from Central Michigan University. She's the program manager for FHWA's Freight Performance Measurement Initiative, the topic of today's Talking Freight. Jeff Short is a senior research associate with the American Transportation Research Institute, or ATRI, or ATRI as it's sometimes called. He's a project manager for the Travel Time and Freight Significant Corridors Project, also known as Freight Performance Measures, sponsored by the Federal Highway Administration Office of Freight Management and Operations, which has developed a national system for measuring the performance of truck movement along the U.S. freight corridors and at international border crossings. During his time with ATRI, Jeff has also played key roles in numerous other projects, including multiple Transportation Research Board-sponsored commercial vehicle safety synthesis, analyses of transportation funding practices and outcomes, research of onboard safety technologies, and an investigation of best practices for freight operations during national and regional emergencies. His areas of expertise include transportation and freight policy analysis, program evaluation, safety, technology, economics, and operations. Jeff holds an MS from the Georgia Institute of Technology and a BA from Emory University. He is active in both the Transportation Research Board and ITS America and is a member of the TRB Performance Measurement Committee. Katie Hancock is the co-director for the Center for Geospatial Information Technology and an associate professor in the VIA Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering at Virginia Polytech Institute and State University. She earned her PhD and master's degrees in civil engineering from Vanderbilt University, and she also received a bachelor's degree in civil engineering from Colorado State University. Dr. Hancock has more than 25 years of experience as a transportation engineer and researcher in freight planning and operations, geographic information systems for transportation, highway safety, crash analysis, and roadside safety. In addition to FPM Web, Dr. Hancock has been active on several truck and freight-related projects, including a National Science Foundation exploratory grant on micro-simulation of freight movement integrated with logistics, information, and e-commerce. She is currently providing technical expertise to the Freight Analysis Framework effort for the Federal Highway Administration and is a member of the TRB Standing Committee on Freight Data. I'd like now to go over a few logistical details prior to starting the seminar. Today's seminar will last 90 minutes, with 60 minutes allocated for the speakers and the final 30 minutes for audience question and answer. If during the presentations you think of a question, you can type it into the smaller text box underneath the chat area on the lower right side of your screen. Please make sure you are typing it in the thin text box and not the large white area. Please also make sure you send your questions to everyone and indicate which presenter your question is for. Presenters will be unable to answer your questions during their presentations, but I will start off the question and answer session with the questions typed into the chat box. Once we get through all the questions that have been typed in, the operator will give you instructions on how to ask a question over the phone. If you think of a question after the seminar, you can send it to the presenters directly, or I encourage you to use the Freight Planning Listserv. The listserv is an email list and is a great forum for the distribution of information and a place where you can post questions to find out what other subscribers have learned in the area of freight planning. If you have not already joined the listserv, the web address at which you can register is provided on the slide on your screen. Finally, I would like to remind you that this session is being recorded. A file containing the audio and visual portion of this seminar will be posted to the Talking Freight website within the next week. We encourage you to direct others in your office that may not have been able to attend this seminar to access the recorded seminar. The PowerPoint presentations used during the seminar are available for download from the file download box in the lower right corner of your screen. The presentations will also be available online within the next week. I will notify all attendees of the availability of the PowerPoints, the recording, and a transcript of this seminar. We're now going to go ahead and get started. Today's topic, for those of you who just joined us, is the National Freight Performance Measurement Data Dissemination Tool. Our first presentation will be given by Crystal Jones of the Federal Highway Administration Office of Freight Management and Operations and Jeff Short of the American Transportation Research Institution. As a reminder, if you have questions during the presentation, please type them into the chat box and they will be answered in the last 30 minutes of the seminar. Crystal?
Well, good afternoon. As Laura said, I'm Crystal Jones. I'm from Federal Highway's Office of Freight Management and Operations. And as you can see from the title, the main focus of today's seminar is the data dissemination tool that Virginia Tech has developed on behalf of the program. But as the program manager for the initiative, I thought what I would do was sort of set the stage by providing some background information as to why Federal Highway has engaged in this project. And Jeff Short will follow with some description of the data itself, the methods that we use for processing and gathering the data. And then Kitty's presentation, as Laura indicated, will be the grand finale that will actually describe the data dissemination tool that we plan to be deploying in the early summer. As many of you may know, that since our last reauthorization within the Department of Transportation, there's been many proposals and positions put forth on what the next authorization for the Department of Transportation looks like. And though a lot of those themes and those positions and proposals have varying positions on what it should look like, there have been some key themes that have emerged in terms of the in the proposals and positions. And some of those themes include defining the federal role for goods as pertains to freight and goods movement, linking transportation policy and funding to environment and energy, promoting better management of existing assets, using multiple funding sources, and that last bullet, which is really aligned with what we're talking about here today, is incorporating performance and accountability into transportation programs. Transportation performance measurement, as the previous slide indicated, has emerged as a key item that needs to be considered or will be considered most likely in our next authorization. Several groups have recommended that the next authorization consider a performance-based surface transportation plan, and these include proposals such as the last administration's Transportation Infrastructure and Reform Act proposal, AASHTO's proposal, the Policy and Revenue Commission had the same thing, the Finance Commission, and also the General Accounting Organization. Excellent. Most of the work that we've been doing on the Freight Performance Measurement Initiative has been focused on highway infrastructure. So the information that we'll be presenting here today is very highway focused, and the work that we have ongoing here in Federal Highway focuses on those key parts of the highway infrastructure that are key to freight movement. That includes interstate systems, international border crossings and approaches, and intermodal connectors, which are those parts of the national highway system that connect other parts of the national highway system to port terminals, rail terminals, and air terminals. And we won't talk in detail about the last bullet, but the FPM initiative does have a component that looks at movement of freight on the interstate system and at international land border crossings. A few years back, we had some research done within Federal Highway that took a look at, if you were going to develop a freight performance measurement program, what would be some of the key indicators of freight performance. And some of the indicators that emerged in that research are point-to-point travel times on selected freight significant highways, crossing times at international border crossing, and condition of intermodal connectors between the NHS and intermodal terminals. And Federal Highway currently has a program or an initiative aimed at those top three indicators, and again, the presentation here today mainly focuses on the point-to-point travel time on freight significant corridors. And we'll talk briefly about the crossing times at international border crossing, but the FPM data dissemination tool that'll be described later by Kitty is primarily focused on that first indicator, point-to-point travel time on selected freight significant highways. In terms of what the FPM initiative is, essentially what we have done is we've established a contractual partnership with the American Transportation Research Institute, who in turn has partnerships with data providers and motor carriers, and we're collecting GPS and satellite data from trucks, approximately 500,000, that are moving nationwide on our highway system. The main focus of our initiative to date has been on 25 major U.S. interstate corridors, which is what the FPM web tool is focused on, and land border crossings. So we have a significant amount of data for 15 U.S.-Canada land border crossings. Again, we started this program in 2003, and it was sort of a crawl, walk, run approach. We started out with selected portions of five interstate highways, I-5, I-65, I-70, I-10, and I-45, and then we gradually expanded to the entire length of all five of those corridors, and those are the initial corridors shown in red on this slide. And then after we refined our approaches and methods, we expanded our data analysis and collection to 25 interstate corridors, which are the ones shown in blue. So essentially from about 2006 to the present, we have data for the 25 interstate corridors shown in red and blue on this slide. And I just want to highlight that the FPM web tool primarily focuses on those five corridors, but through the program we have access to data for practically any interstate highway in the United States, as well as those parts of the national highway system that have significant freight movement. So our only limitation in terms of what we have available in the FPM initiative is whether or not there's a significant amount of the types of vehicles, which Jeff will describe, that have the equipment that we get the GPS data from moving on those highways. So our primary focus for the initiative is 25 interstate corridors. And this is just a typical visualization of what a month of process data would be displayed like on a map. And just like a lot of our traveler information tools that we have and state DOTs and MPOs have on their websites, it essentially, this visualization product shows the average operating speed for the 25 interstates that I mentioned are our primary focus. And it's color-coded, meaning anything in green is above 55 miles per hour. And this is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And anything in yellow is 50 to 55, and anything in red is below 50 miles per hour. And again, what Kitty will describe is how this type of analysis can be taken down using the FPM dissemination tool below the national level, but our primary focus in Federal Highway has been to do national type analysis. I mentioned that there's an international border crossing component. Similar to our work on the interstate corridors, we started the border crossing work with five border crossings, and they were the Champlain Crossing, the Ambassador Bridge Crossing, the Peace Bridge, Pembina, and Alexandria Bay. And we have gradually extended our border crossing component, and now we have data for 15 major land border crossing areas on the U.S.-Canada border, and this covers more than 80% of the trade inbound to the United States from Canada. In our work, what we started out is that we didn't want our work to be focused necessarily on what a customs agency is doing inside the border crossing. So the data that we have for the border crossing areas includes not just the immediate crossing area, but also the major highways that approach the crossing area. So as an example, for the Ambassador Bridge crossing, we have data for Michigan Route 3, Interstate 75, 94, and 96, and the other roads that connect to the border crossing on the Canada side of the border. So it's not just a look at the border crossing itself, it's also the approach roads that connect to the international land border crossings. Mainly our national level analysis has focused on developing these current measures, average operating speeds and travel time reliability. And for the border crossings, we look at average total crossing time and crossing time reliability. And what we heard early on when we started our research is that though velocity and speed are important to shippers and carriers in freight movement, they also view reliability as being equally important, meaning that they don't necessarily want to know how slow or how fast it is. They want to know how reliably they can plan their trips and routes and deliveries based on travel time reliability. So our focus is not only average operating speed, but also travel time reliability. In addition to the basic measures or the measures on the previous slide, we also have done at least initial validation to show that coupled with other data sets, we can derive other measures of travel time. And listed here are just some of the examples that ATRI has experimented and demonstrated the capability to develop these types of measures. And hopefully within the next 6 months or so, the web tool that you'll see will have some other measures other than the initial measures that'll be presented today. But again, our primary focus thus far has been average operating speeds and travel time reliability. And though today's session is primarily focused on the FPM web tool dissemination, I also wanted to take the opportunity to give a brief mention to another tool that Federal Highway is currently finishing up the development on. I mentioned that intermodal connectors were another part of the national highway system that we consider to be very key to the movement of freight and the proficiency of freight movement. So we have recently concluded the development with the help of four states, Kentucky, Kansas, Georgia, and Indiana, an intermodal connector assessment tool. And essentially, what the tool is meant to be is a simple tool for assessing the condition of freight intermodal connectors at the state and national level. And our intent when we developed the tool was to make maximum utilization of national data sets such as HPMS and MBI and other data sets. And again, we're finalizing that tool and hopefully it'll be ready for dissemination later this summer. And now I'll turn it over to Jeff, who will provide some information on the data attributes and the methods that we use for processing and collecting the data in the FPM initiative.
Okay. As Laura mentioned earlier, I'm Jeff Short with the American Transportation Research Institute. As Crystal mentioned, we have been working to produce a freight performance measures web application so that transportation stakeholders can access freight performance data in their local areas. What I'd like to discuss are the methods by which we produce freight performance measures and the applications of those measures that can be used by FPM web users. First, let's discuss the data that goes into the FPM web tool. Some questions that you may have that I'll try to answer before you even have a chance to ask them. First, how many vehicles are included in the database? There are approximately 325,000 large trucks that contribute data to the FPM web database. Second question, what type of vehicles? Generally speaking, the database is made up of large trucks. More specifically, while there are less than truckload vehicles in this population, the database tends to be, for the most part, made up of over-the-road, long-haul truckload vehicles. How much data is utilized annually? This system, the system behind the FPM web tool, will process more than 1 billion truck positions. The facilities that are mentioned, Crystal went over these earlier. For the initial FPM web release, data for 25 interstates will be available. There are plans, however, to increase these numbers moving forward. Historical time frame, how far back can we look at data? The data that we will be processing for the FPM web tool will go back to mid-2006 and will be available all the way through the most recent fully completed month. So if you're accessing it in April 2009, data through March 2009 will be available. Additionally, we'll have border crossing data that will come online through the FPM web at some point in the future. Here's some more information about the data. This is a visualization of the raw data that is processed into the FPM web. The data elements included unique truck ID, a time and date stamp that is in Greenwich Mean Time, a latitude and longitude, and an interstate identifier for data management purposes. Continuing through the data processing walkthrough, to process these records, which I stated earlier number in the billions, there are many steps that are related to data management and fusion, putting multiple data sets together, managing them, making sense of them, essentially. And second, sending that raw, managed, fused data to a data processing tool that uses several custom and off-the-shelf software applications and some relatively powerful hardware. Next, this slide shows how truck positions and eventually truck speeds are mapped to interstate highway segments. First, quality control controls are placed on the raw data. If truck positions meet these quality measures, they are shifted to a new database and are snapped in pairs to the highway system. For each pair of truck positions, a speed is determined through a time distance calculation of data from two related truck positions. If you look at the pink line on this slide, each end of that line is where a truck position was given. You calculate the distance it traveled, the time between position reads, and you have an average travel speed over that distance. These speed values are given to each 3-mile segment of highway that an individual truck crosses. Average speeds for multiple vehicles are eventually calculated based on criteria such as time of day, day of week, or whatever query is put in by the FPM web user. Data applications. What are the applications of this data? I'll go into more detail describing specific applications, but at a high level, applications include trend analyses, analysis of the effects of operational conditions, and before and after a project is implemented, a highway project is implemented, analysis. As Dr. Hancock will show you in the next presentation, this is the type of data that will be returned to users after a query. The results will be based on the criteria that is given through the query tool. This data can be analyzed in this format, but can also be imported into GIS software. The website where we host FPM Web will have a route file that will be available for download and can be imported into GIS software. And this is the information, such as what you see here, can be imported into the GIS software as well. And this is essentially the result. Data can be visualized on a national level. I got a little ahead of myself here. Here is an example of data being visualized at the state level. State DOTs may want to look at it statewide, but also focus in on certain areas. Here you may want to look at Charleston, for instance. This example shows the data being used to display the effects of a wildfire in Florida several years ago. You see on May 15th on the slide on the left that truck traffic disappears essentially from the highway that is affected by this wildfire. Next is an example of using the data to determine the hour-by-hour impact of a work zone on average truck speeds. This is another thing that can be done with FPM Web. And some other applications I just wanted to go over really quickly. First, border crossing data. As I said, border crossing data will be available at a later date. But as is shown here, average speeds by time of day on a segment of the Blue Water Bridge, which is shown here, could be calculated, for instance. Additionally, the data can be used to assess freight bottlenecks. Here we have a chart of hour-by-hour average truck speeds at one of the worst bottlenecks in the United States. And one final application, analysis of truck parking deficiencies is possible through this data set. The map you see here depicts the level of truck demand for highways and compares this information with locations in New York State of official truck parking areas. And finally, I just had a few notes on FPM Web before I turn the presentation over to Kitty Hancock. First, I just wanted to touch base with everyone on data privacy. We all know that freight information is often tough to acquire because of data privacy concerns. Such concerns stem from the high level of competition among trucking industry members and things like concern over regulations, concern over litigation. What FPM Web offers to transportation stakeholders is data that is delivered in such a way that data privacy concerns are no longer an issue with the final statistics that are produced by FPM Web. Therefore, a win-win for industry and the public sector. Second, you will see a terms of service slide in the next presentation. Most of you are familiar with such terms of service agreements when you do things like online, like pay bills, download software, and install software, etc. I just wanted to point out that such agreements are fairly standard, and there is one with this web tool as well. Finally, I have a link posted here on the slide, and I believe it's posted somewhere else on this webinar interface. And if you go to this link, you can sign up for a notification when the FPM Web tool is deployed to the public. Again, thank you for your time. I'll now turn the presentation over to Kitty Hancock from Virginia Tech.
Okay. While they switch presentations for us, I want to thank everyone for attending and giving us the opportunity to give you a preview of the tool that's going to be made available. I do want to emphasize that what you'll be seeing is, what you're seeing in this presentation is the pre-beta version. The beta version is in the process of being ported over to its permanent home, and we will be testing it over the next month or so to make sure that it's operating the way that we had designed it to operate. I am Kitty Hancock with Virginia Tech. Kuifeng Liu is the developer for the software, and a recently completed PhD. I am with the Center for Geospatial Information Technology here at Virginia Tech, and we provide research and educational opportunities for students here at Tech to work on GIS projects and to get hands-on experience with both research and applications associated with GIS. Okay, moving into FPM Web, when you log into the system, or when you first click on the link to the system, and the link will be available both through the American Transportation Research Institute's webpage as well as Federal Highway's webpage once it's up. When you click on it, you will come to the logon page. If you don't have an account yet, you can request an account through the webpage, and it will take you to a request page, which then, once you complete this, will be sent, the information will be sent by email to the people at ATRI, Jeff right now, for review. And once ATRI has approved it, you'll be provided with a username and password to log into the system. As Jeff mentioned, there is an online service term of agreement that you will see every and this will come up every time that you log in. Just to remind you that this is important information that should be used appropriately. If you accept it, you move into the application. If you reject it, it takes you back to the web page that you started from. Once you've moved into the actual application, it comes up in a map interface where you can see the extent of the interstate system. And this is ArcGIS, developed an ArcGIS server, and it does have some most of the standard functionality of ArcGIS server. You can search, you can zoom, you can change some of the characteristics of the map content. Across down the left-hand side, I should have mentioned before I started, if you don't have your screen on full display, you probably do want to make sure it's full display so that you can see the extent of these slides. My understanding is if you don't have that, then you are missing some of the information. Apologize for that little sideline there. Down the left-hand side are the standard ArcGIS navigation tools. Across the top bar right above the map, you'll see the query tools and comments, and then a link to go back to ATRI's main web page. There's two different types of queries. There's the first is the customized query, which will take you, which will provide you with summary data, aggregate data in a table format, which can be downloaded in a CSV file for import to Excel or some other data manipulation tool. There's also a customized query for mapping, which will allow you to download information that can be imported into a GIS software package so that you can generate the linearly referenced mapping that you've seen and that I'll show you shortly. This is just an example of one of the ArcGIS queries that can be performed on the map itself. Then moving into the customized query for the data, there's two different components, if you will, to the query. There's the locational information where you specify either the interstate that you're interested in or the states that you're interested in, or you can indicate all and get aggregated data across that locational aspect of the query. There's also the temporal component, which allows you to decide which years you're interested in, whether you want to break it down by month, whether you want to break it down by day of week, whether you want to break it down by day of month, and then if you want to break it into hourly intervals. The data that comes into this software or this application, the most disaggregate form that that data exists in is the average speed per hour per 3 mile segment on all of the interstates across the that are existent in the database. So that is the most disaggregate level that you can acquire the data for when you do a request. You can aggregate it to any of the levels that you see here, and then you can indicate whether you want to report it back out in the data display individually by state, by hour, or if you want to aggregate it and see just the total values for each of these. And we'll see a couple of examples of those. If you're doing this on a regular basis, you can actually save your queries, you can generate them and then save them and come back and retrieve them at a later date and run them again, either with updated data or with the data that you've worked with in the past. And this is specific to the username that is logged in when you save the query and when you retrieve it. The results of a query show up in this tabular form, and you'll see the interstate, depending on the level of aggregation, the interstate, the state, the year, the month, the day of the week, or day of the month, if that's your what your query resulted in. The direction, if there's nothing in that field, it's both directions combined, and then east, west, or north, south, depending on the interstate. And the average velocity, average travel speed, and then the standard deviation of that travel speed. The export button allows you to export this to a CSV file, which, like I said, can be imported directly into Excel or into some other mathematical manipulation tool. Once you say, request the export, it asks, brings up the standard Windows box that requests where you want to save this to. Save locally on your computer. An example of another query where you can actually specify the milepost, and this is within your individual state. The data itself is saved in a national mileposting system that was built when the original data manipulation was taking place. And so from that, if you look at I-10 at 0 to 1500 or whatever the length of I-10 is from south to north or from east to west, but this application does adjust for individual state mileposts. So if you're in Virginia and you're working on I-95 and you want to see the average speeds along the segment of I-95 from milepost 130 to 165, you specify that and it extracts the appropriate data and provides the results for that segment. Now, if you were to request that information for the map query and download it, it does maintain the national mileposting, which matches the root the download geodatabase download file. When you do the customized query for mapping, it looks almost identical to the query for the tabular report of the data. The difference here is when you generate the results, it comes out in 3-mile segments. And it looks something like this. So you'd see the interstate, the state that it's traveling through, the from milepost to milepost, the year, the average velocity or the average travel speed, and the standard deviation for that 3-mile segment. So this then can be imported directly into ArcGIS or Transcad and linearly referenced and themed so that you have the display maps that we saw earlier. An example with Transcad, the CSV file, there was we did a query for on I-40 in Oklahoma between milepost 256 and 330 and attached it to the route file within Transcad, and you can see the resulting themed speed for that segment of roadway in Oklahoma. Similarly, in ArcGIS, we extracted the entire length of I-5 and imported it as a CSV file into ArcGIS, and it created the themed speed map showing I-5 for the entire length. Now for these two, for the mapping component at this time, you do need to have the GIS software resident on your individual computers. The query tool itself is a web-based tool, and there's no requirement other than that you have web access. Then finally, there is a box that's available for comments for anyone who's using this. If there's any information that you would like to provide as feedback for the beta testers, this will be a place to give any problems that have been identified. Once it's made available for use, then it's just an indication of any input that you would like to provide to either us, APRI, or Federal Highway as far as the tool itself goes. Crystal talked a little bit at the beginning about some of the interest in freight performance measures and in data from the public perspective, from the federal perspective. I just want to close a little bit with some from the research perspective. I've been involved in freight for many years now, and throughout my career there's been a call for freight data. You can see just from this slide that there have been 8 different conferences, studies, reports just within the past 9 years that have called for improved freight data. And Federal Highway has been active in trying to identify ways to help meet the needs to provide freight data to the public, to the particularly more locally to local jurisdictions, state jurisdictions. And this is one of those efforts to make it available to people for both planning and research applications. Within this call for data, typically the most common areas that have been identified are a standard data architecture, which is currently being funded by the National Cooperative the National Cooperative Freight Research Program, and they're in the process of establishing a baseline architecture, or a baseline for an architecture. Then their data needs themselves and doing things with data, and then stakeholders that are involved with those data. And speed has typically been a very important data element that a lot of the modeling, a lot of the planning has really wanted to have that particular data element to support decisions that are made either at a state level or to support some of the models, some of the research that has gone into freight planning. And then what we can do with the data, Jeff showed you several different applications that they are working with this speed data to provide analyses that have not been available in the past because we have not had this level of information. Couple of other things that have been of key interest are improvements and changes to the existing data that we have. Speed feeds into that. Average travel speed feeds into that very well. Data gaps within the data sets, as I've mentioned, this is the first time that we've really had travel speed at the level that it's being provided or will be provided through this particular tool. And then to provide these attributes back into some of the planning models and into some of the research that's currently being performed. A couple of other unique features, particularly with this data set, is the method for the data collection, the new technologies, and a new way of obtaining information that's not involved in surveys, but that can be linked to survey information, and then the dissemination of this information. This is one of the several applications that is being supported by Federal Highway in getting information out to local jurisdictions, out to states, to make it available and useful for the for those of you who do this or need this information for your decision making. And then we saw a couple of examples of the data synthesis and analysis that ATRI has already been performing and that we hope can be expanded by making this available to those of you who are doing this work. And finally, I want to put in a pitch, being from the data side of transportation, is we have continually been trying to reinforce the fact that data is infrastructure and is necessary for us to make the appropriate decisions across the transportation system. This application is another step to providing that infrastructure and to maintaining this level as we move forward. It does require money, time, and commitment, and Federal Highway has shown that. And with this, we're hoping that we can continue to get this word out, that data is important, it is an asset, and it does need to be part of any of the decision any of the resource decision making that takes place. And with that, I'll be happy to open it up to or turn it back over for questions.
Well, thank you, Kitty and Crystal and Jeff. Those were some definitely interesting presentations, and it's definitely going to be a very useful tool once it's all up and running, and I think it has a lot of potential, so I'm excited to kind of see the development as it's going. So